Blog Talk Radio.
Love is composed of a single soul inhabiting two bodies. Aristotle. The most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire. Ferdinand Fock. Love makes your soul crawl out from its hiding place. Zora Neale Hurston. Welcome to the International Book Launch Report of Oscar Crawford Media's latest book, Burning Flame, The Rise of Ancient Star. My name is Oscar Crawford. I am the author of Burning Flame. For the past 20 years, I have been writing across a number of genres, from how-to articles to the spiritual, to whodunit mysteries, to erotica and romance. I live to write. I love to write. I write every day from ideas resulting from people that I meet or simply from ideas that I create. About 6 months ago, I made a new friend from Istanbul whose name I discovered literally means burning flame. The idea for this book was immediately born, and Burning Flame, The Rise of Ancient Star, is the result. Thank you so much for joining me. There is a chat room available, and you may leave your questions and comments there. And during the last 10 minutes of this broadcast, I will speak to those if there is sufficient time. All right. Thank you again for joining me. I had the privilege to visit Istanbul years ago with a woman I was in love with at the time. She inspired me to consider becoming a writer. We met on the Greek island of Crete. At the conclusion of our first meeting, she wrote a note on a napkin and slid it under my hand as she left. I will never forget her words. They said, "No one I know perceives the love I have inside. Please come, please come." Imagine somebody leaving you that one. Our time in Turkey took us to the beautiful parks of Istanbul and the Sultanahmet Mosque, known as the Blue Mosque. From Istanbul, we took a bus trip to the west coast cities of the Republic until we arrived at the southern coast port city of Marmaris. One evening while in Marmaris, we hired a boatsman to row us out into the Gulf for a romantic midnight experience under the most beautiful full moon that I've ever seen in my life. It looked so big and so open, it looked as if we could sail into it. Since, the Republic of Turkey has held a special place in my heart. When the inspiration for Burning Flame came, it was a writer's perfect moment. Sidebar. I descend from insatiable romantics. My grandparents were married 60 years before the first of them passed on. My parents are now married more than 65 years. They are both alive. My father is 87 and my mother is 82. Loving for me has been as natural as breathing. Burning Flame is the story of soulmates that learn of each other on the day of an international tragedy, September 11th, 2016. What begins to follow now are excerpts from the opening introduction and chapter one, the introduction. I leave to you all that I am and your true name that you to no one but burning flame. Your name is ancient star. As I look back on that night in 2001 and all that has happened since, I would not believe what I am telling you had I not personally experienced it. One sentence spoken to me by my great-grandfather, Harrison Charles, as he died, set the course for my life while I was still a small boy. In his final moments, with all the family at his bedside, he asked all others but me to leave that he might speak to me alone. My grandfather and my father both looked at me with surprise in their eyes. My grandfather said to me, "You have the blood of the Cherokee, the Ashanti, and the European running through your veins. You are the son of slaves, the son of slave owners, and the son of the indigenous peoples of North America. We are not people that are black, red, or white. We are all of them walking the cultural middle road with a perpetual tan and raven hair. We are beautiful. In you is the pride, the future of our bloodline, and so much more. You will be a strong leader of our people, and you will love with a fierce passion. I wondered what my dying grandfather could want to say to me that he did not want to say to his son, my grandfather, and his grandson, my father, to hear. It had not been available for discussion. If this was a lottery, I had won it and would soon be learning why. While America mourned evil acts of terrorism on the East Coast from earlier in the day, we gathered around the man who had given all our lives meaning. Grandpa Charles was a great man by any standard. With the blessings of the indigenous people of these mountains, privilege granted him to make his home with the people of the Red Wing Nation within a nation. He was friends with the people. He was their guardian. They were his. We felt safe on what he called Red Wing Mountain. I am not sure why I was not scared that night, but I was not scared. I was 10 years old. And something big was about to happen I could not imagine. I had never seen anyone die before. Why did he send everybody away but me? I do not want to see my great-grandfather die. Grandpa Charles had always told me I was good dirt. We did not see him often, but when we did, he was always teaching me something about his life or something he thought I should know. He always planted in his gardens. Really, on the whole mountain, and in me. He taught me about seeds. He taught me about people. He said once, listen for what people do not say. What they do not say is often more important than what they said. See what others do not notice. If this was to be my last moment with Grandpa Charles, I committed to remember everything. Very soft light reflected off the hand-carved walls of his inner sanctum from the light of many candles. His tanned face was still smooth as if he had never aged. He was still a raven hair. He knew something others did not know. As I look back on that singular moment, his inner sanctum looked like the bedroom of a king. It was palatial. You would not see this or even think it possible looking at this house from the outside this high up in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. The Sierra Nevadas had been home to a now believed extinct people who had come from the other side of the world. He called them the Red Wing people. That is why he called his land the Red Wing Mountain. I learned the people were not extinct. The people who gave him the land were the descendants of the Red Wing people. The last of the original bloodline of the Red Wing lived secluded in an ancient city that he called Constantinople. Grandpa Charles made home high up in the mountain because he had once loved a Red Wing woman he had met there. She called the mountains the true land. On his passing, he was leaving his home and his lands to me. After today, no one could come here again until my return after my 25th birthday. Until then, I was to learn everything I could about the Red Wing people. Money was prepared for my education and my travels. I was to study ancient texts and learn many languages. More than anything, I was to be strong of mind and body. When I look back on my defining moment, Grandpa Charles was a deeply mysterious and spiritual man. He was not a churchy man. He thought that nonsense, but he spoke of God as if he knew God personally. He even had a place on the mountain dedicated as the place he talked to God. In his final moments, I noticed on the wall of his room hang two paintings. One was of a bird, the Red Wing. The other was of a woman so pretty, she took my breath away as I looked at her portrait. I felt something when I looked at her. She is burning flame. He smiled and said, oh my goodness, as he remembered her. As the end grew near, Grandpa Charles asked me to pour him a drink from a bottle by his bedside. The label said Grand Marnier. There was also a cake near the bottle. It was a carrot cake. He wanted us both to share a sip from the bottle and a bite of the carrot cake together. I poured it. Then he asked me to sip it first and then give it to him. Next, he directed me to have the first bite of the cake and then offer it to him. I was not prepared for what I was about to hear. He said, "The burning flame now awaits you. You shall meet in the place where birds fly. She will have the red wing painted in a place you will find most interesting. From the moment you meet, love her with all your heart and soul. Fly with her. Together you will know what to do. I love you, my son. You are now my life. I leave you in the hands of our able guardians, the Maji. I leave to you all that I am and your true name, that you speak to no one but burning flame. You are ancient star." And so ends the reading of the opening introduction to the text. And so you meet two principal characters of Burning Flame. One is Harrison Charles, and the other is his great-grandson, Harrison Charles IV. Next, you're going to hear about the second principal character in our story, and she literally is the burning flame of the book, and I hope you find her interesting as well. I love these characters. I feel these characters. They are me. They're in me. I'm in them, and this whole process has been very exciting. Almost 6,000 miles east of the Sierra Nevadas, a beautiful teenage girl with tousled dark hair awakens from her sleep. She experiences an unusual restlessness. She has heard a voice speak from the darkness of her dream say, "It begins. Come now." Frightened and now sweating, she gets out of her bed to clear her thoughts. A ring of turquoise appears on the index finger of her hand as she slips on a light turquoise robe. She walks out on the balcony of her suite. Her family's home stands high above the many layers of history and civilization that lie below. She looks out over the great city to see the Sultanahmet Mosque, better known as the Blue Mosque. This is the place where the land meets heaven in peaceful harmony. Don't you love that? She hears the call to prayer but listens to hear something more. It feels like a calling from the ancient city of Constantinople, the home of her ancestors. The ancient city influenced the known civilized world from the 4th to the 14th century. It had been the city of Constantine, emperor of Nova Roma, the queen of cities. Many believe the center of Constantine's spiritual civilization knew the secret answers to mystical questions people caught up in 21st century preoccupations no longer even ask. Her family had managed to acquire and hold on to the ownership of the small stretch of land that had been the original city of Constantinople centuries ago. From the 14th century, their holdings located on the northern coast of the southern inland sea of Marmara. Religious imperialists holding to exclusive notions of God fought for control of it for centuries. Winning it and losing it came and went like astral seasons. Self-righteous militaries acting in the name of their God as they believed themselves led, spilled blood, and took lives for generations. All who held the land after Constantinople fell were infidels to all who sought to claim the land next. Only one family managed to live immune from the centuries-old chaos. Only one family believed to know the mystical secrets to the questions no one asked anymore. They, too, had finally left the land of the old city for a more contemporary landscape. When they departed, they left caretakers behind to maintain the family's ancestral home and surrounding lands for more than 500 years. The land had survived all who had tried to control it and seemed to survive even now. Annually, on the date coinciding with the death of Emperor Constantine, the gates open briefly to welcome visitors. Many draw near, but none enter, as if an invisible force did not encourage entry. This was about to end. On the date of the death of the emperor, a teenage girl with instructions never to go to the ancestral lands will go there. She does not know why, only that she must. They call to her. 2 hours and three cab drives later, I arrived to find hundreds gathered outside the gates. I saw the gates from the distance open briefly and then close. People watched as if the moment gave rise to the coming of a rock star or a similar opportunity to witness a famous comet or meteor shower pass. As I walked through the mass of people, I noted there was nothing to see but the gates. No one approached them while they were open. What had they really expected to see? Were they all simply there in case a once-in-a-lifetime something happened? It had all seemed really quite silly as I thought about it. What did I really expect to happen? Am I any different? I suppose I will soon learn. When the crowd began to notice I was going for the gate, their cameras and phones focused on me. Flashes were going off. People were asking each other, "Who is she? Who does she think she is?" One voice called out, "It's Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz." It was all funny, but I kept a straight face. I believe I am here for a reason I cannot explain. I believe the land called me here. I know I would have a hard time explaining this to my parents. People yelled, "She's going to the gate." As I got closer and closer, a woman dressed in black approached from the other side. She seemed to come out of nowhere. I had not seen her emerge, and I focused on the other side the whole time. Both of us continued to walk toward the gate until only the gate stood between us. "Greetings, child. We have been expecting you," the unknown one said. "Are you ready to know why you've come here? Are you ready to discover who you are?" she asked. "Yes," I said. With that, the gate opened. She extended her right hand. I took it with my left, and we began our walk away as the gate had simply closed behind us. I could hear people rushing to the gate. They had many questions of who the woman was. Why had she welcomed me in and not spoken a single word to anyone else? The land before us looked desolate. It did not seem to matter. We continued to walk forward. The woman whispered a question to me as we walked. "Are you scared?" "Only a little," I whispered back. "I know without knowing how I know." You like that? "I know without knowing how I know that I am supposed to be here." "Yes, you are. Very soon, you will begin to know why. Happens next will make all those that watch us, how do they say it, lose it." "Are you ready?" the woman asked. "Your whole world begins to change now." Wow. Was she right? Where we had walked that looked bleak and desolate gave way to a world of vibrant color. People's voices sounded like music. The fragrance in the air was a scent so appealing I wanted to find the person wearing it. If I wore this at home, boys would fall at my feet. I want some of this. My girlfriends would die for this. We were simply no longer where we were. Wherever this is, I like it already. "Excuse me," I said to the woman. "What am I to call you?" I asked her. "I'm sorry, my dear. Please call me Lady Redwing," she told me. This is the setting I'm sharing with you for Burning Flame. Now, there are a number of things that I'd like you to begin to know, and I'm just going to check the chat room to see if anyone has left questions that they'd like me to speak to already, because I certainly want to be able to do that with you. All right. Some of you are asking questions about, okay, how did the idea really come? Others of you want to know, how long did it take to write? Well, all of those things, this book was an immediate download, just so that you can know. It was an immediate download. Once I learned the name of my friend, literally meant Burning Flame, the story came. Now, that's the first story. The first book, that was just almost like a download, and I had to work to get it out before I would lose it. The second one is going to flow from it. It's going to be out in the first week in January. It's going to be a continuation of what you're going to learn in book one of the series, and it's probably going to go 5 to 6 books in the series. But it was an immediate download. Now, how long did it take for me to get it into acceptable format before thinking about releasing it to the public? We're probably talking 3, 4, maybe 5 months before it became exactly what I believe it ought to be. Before I shared it with someone. Okay, what else are we seeing there? What is my kick in writing? I wish I could explain that to you. All I know is that I am supposed to write. I cannot not write. I know that wasn't good English using a double negative, but I cannot not write. I must write. It's almost as if there's so much in me that wants out that to deny it would probably make me, my physical being or me, emotionally sick in some context, and I'm certainly not volunteering for that. What? How long ago were you in Turkey? I was in Turkey longer ago than many of you are old. I was in Turkey in the early 1970s. I have not been back to Turkey since. My journey that took me to Turkey had actually started in Greece where I met my friend that probably was the inspiration for me to become a writer. We met on the Greek island of Crete, and from there we had traveled to Turkey and to some other the Greek islands. And after I left there, then it would be 20 years before I would get back to the Greek islands. My wife and son, we all went and spent some time through 9 or 10 countries in Europe in the early 90s, and we got back to Greece. We didn't get to Turkey, but we got back to Greece. I can't explain my life. It's just a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Okay, let me tell you some more things that I want you to know. For the next 3 days only, you can still be an advanced reader of Burning Flame. You can read the book at no cost. I do hope that all of you who continue to read as an advanced reader, that you'll be kind and you'll leave a review of what you think of my work, where the book is being hosted on Amazon.com. But the website that you can still be an advanced reader, and you can only do this through Friday. Friday night, midnight, that's coming down. It won't be there anymore. That website is anyflip, A-N-Y-F-L-I-P, .com/BTOB/JSTE. One more time. anyflip.com/BTOB/JSTE. You can read that book there free for the next 3 days only, and after midnight on Friday night, that's coming down, October 8th, 2016. Get Burning Flame, the ebook and paperback, exclusively at Amazon.com. In their search box, enter Burning Flame by Oscar Crawford. It will take you exactly to where you can make your choice of whether you want to get the ebook or the paperback. If you live in the U.S., and you would like a personalized autographed copy of the paperback, go to paypal.com and submit $10 to crawfordanddienst@yahoo.com. And let me do that for you. Crawford, C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D, A-N-D, D-I-E-N-S-T, at yahoo.com. By doing it there, you're going to save a third of what you would spend to get the paperback by ordering it on Amazon. If you're ordering it on Amazon, it's going to cost you almost $12, and then shipping relative to the choices that you make. You can do a regular shipping cost. It's probably still going to cost you $3 to $4 for the shipping. If you put it through an express shipping format to get to you quicker, it will cost you significantly more. Now, if you order it to me through me directly, I will be responsible for paying the cost of shipping, and you need to allow 2 to 3 weeks for delivery. If you choose to go that route because you want a personalized copy of the paperback, once I confirm your personalized order, I will email you a copy of the ebook for you to begin reading while you wait. All right. I certainly invite you and all the persons you know that might be interested in this work to really have a good experience with it. I actually invite people who read my work actually step inside the text. If you really want to have a good experience with a book, step inside it as if it is you that the things are happening with. And even change roles from time to time as you're reading. In one moment, be Ancient Star or Harrison Charles, or be Burning Flame or Lady Redwing. Be any of the characters inside. And when you step inside that character, look around and see what you see and see what you experience. Reading takes on a whole different experience when you do this. I promise you it will. All right. Let's see if we've got other questions people would like me to speak to. Does the person know you've written a book about their name? Okay. Without telling you who that person is, the answer to that question is yes. Because once I discovered that, I negotiated the use of what their name means in order to go ahead and write the book. And just so that you know, that person has received a chapter of that book every Monday morning since I began writing, even through the 13 or 14 chapters of book two. And book two will probably be finished in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Yes, that person knows. That was a great question. I appreciate you asking that. Okay, what else are we seeing there? Where am I from? All right, it's hard for people to grasp where I'm from after they listen to me, experience me, or share with me for a bit. But I come from a place so rural that it literally was like being born in paradise. I literally was born at the last house at the end of the gravel or dirt road behind the woods. If a car was coming down our road. They were looking for us because we were the only people there. And I would give you some incidental information. When I talk about growing up in paradise, I really, really mean that. We needed not to go off our land for anything because we grew acres of garden. Everything we ate, we grew. Now think about this. For all the things that you go to produce markets around the world to buy, we grew those things that were relative to our culture and geography. We grew them right, less than 20 feet from our house, and we could go and get those things during the harvesting season as we wanted them. Now, it was a year-long project. I mean, we prepared the land, we planted the seeds, we harvested them, we cared for them, but they were there. We had orchards of fruit. We had plums and pears and apples of all kinds, and literally there was no hunger where I grew up. There was no hunger. There was racism and some other isms, but there was no hunger. Besides that, we had a pond that had fish. Now, for all of you who are vegetarians or vegans, don't take this personally. This is my experience growing up. But we had cows and pigs and chickens. We ate cows, pigs, and chickens, or the products of those animals. We did that. Besides that, we lived behind the woods, as I told you. And my father was legally blind. He's been legally blind all of his life. So he didn't handle the gun. My mama was the one who handled the guns in my family. She would go into the woods and shoot rabbits and squirrels when we wanted to eat those kinds of things. Fish from the pond. And if you can believe this, there were so many beautiful flowers that grew around where we lived. It literally was paradise. And you want to know the sad thing? I did not know it when I lived there. Your parents, what did they do? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go back a generation and just say to you that education and spirituality have been the foundation stones to all of my family, all of my life. That's just the way it is. Our family is a deeply spiritual family. Now, certainly we don't see all things the same way, and nobody's trying to push that, but we're a deeply spiritual family. We believe that there is something greater than us, and most of us call that God. And we have a personal relationship with our idea of God that facilitates our life. That's who we are. That's how we live. My grandfather and my grandmother were college graduates before it was common in the context of my culture. All right. I need to wind up. Thank you for spending this time with me. I can't tell you how excited I am about releasing Burning Flame on Saturday. Here's what's going on. I didn't mention this to you before, but I'll mention it to you again. At the end of Burning Flame, you will get the first chapter of Book 2 in the series. Now, as of October 8th, Saturday, you'll be able to get Burning Flame, the ebook, and the paperback exclusively at Amazon.com. In their search box, enter Burning Flame by Oscar Crawford. If you live in the U.S. and you'd like a personalized autographed copy of the paperback, go to PayPal.com, submit $10 to CrawfordandDeans@Yahoo.com. I'll be responsible for the shipping. I'll sign that copy to you and get it off to the address that you leave for me. Okay. Once I confirm your personalized order, I will email you a copy of the ebook for you to begin reading while you wait. Thank you for joining me. I can give you this one more time. If you'd like to read the book as an advanced reader over the next 3 days, you can do that through Friday night, midnight. After Friday night, that free opportunity to be an advanced reader and leave reviews after you've read, that will go away. Now, if you buy the book, you'll still be able to leave a review after you've read that, and I appreciate all of your support. I appreciate you. I appreciate the time that you've taken from me, and I am incredibly excited about the more we reach out and touch each other, the better our world will be. Love and blessings to you all.